So what we are led to do here is to look back on all of the graces that God has given us through Jesus Christ, and therefore to take into account what these two verses say. Now we're going to go back in a bit of detail, just basically over the first 11 chapters of Romans, and just pick a few of these glorious truths from God's word, so that we can better obey this command that Paul is giving here. So he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." The word "beseech" there has the idea of inviting us to join Paul. He's inviting you to join him. It could also be said "urge" or "I implore you." "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." So for the reasons stated, by the mercies of God, I ask you to join me in giving your lives, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice to God. We see here that the two main commands that I see in these two verses, number one, are that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, and number two is that we through a transformation, through a renewing of our mind, we become transformed so that we do not conform to the image of the world. And those two things, the second verse, what is described there, seems to go hand in hand. They all go hand in hand. But those are the two main commands that I see in these two verses. So let's keep having a look through verse one. So who is Paul talking to here? Well, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." He's talking to those that know the Lord. So what I see here is a command to those that know God, command to Christians that have already given their lives to God, to continue to give their lives to God. This is a continuous action that should happen throughout your whole life. You're presenting your body as a living sacrifice. It's not a dead sacrifice. It's a living and active sacrifice to God. So let's keep reading down. "By the mercies of God" is the next phrase that really catches your eye here. The mercies of God, I like the word "by" that is used here. It's simply through the mercies of God, but it also holds the meaning of with the mercies of God as a foundation, as a channel for what is being commanded. So Paul is saying, enabled by the mercies of God, as well as because of the reason of the mercies of God, you're obeying this command, these two commands, not only by the power that is supplied to you through the mercies of God, but also because those mercies have been given to us. It's a because as well as an enablement. There's the reason for what we're doing here, as well as the means by which we are able to attain this. And then we need to familiarize ourselves here with these mercies that have been given to us. And if you flip through with me in the book of Romans, we'll just go through bit by bit and just understand just a taste of these mercies that drive us and that enable us to complete this almost impossible task of giving ourselves a living sacrifice to God. We'll start off in the start of Romans 1, and we'll just have a look at verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So we see, first of all, one of the many mercies of God that is given to us is the revelation of the gospel of Christ. He's giving us the gospel of Christ. He's revealing to us the good news of salvation through bringing Christ down to the world to die for our sins. And of course, in our generation, we know that this happened through the word of God that's been given to us as well. So God's revealing his good news to us of salvation. That's the first grace I want to look at here. If we skip to the next chapter, we don't have time to go through all of the 11 chapters, but next chapter talks about, chapters 2 and 3 talk about our fellow inheritance with the Jews, the fact that we've been grafted into this holy family that has been created as a building for the glory of God. We've been brought into that by the grace of God. Romans 2, and look at verse 10 with me, and this is in regards to Paul when he's talking about how God will render to every man according to his deeds, whether Jews or Gentiles. Verse 10 says, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." Skip to verse 26 of that same chapter. "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So our uncircumcision has been counted circumcision. Our our not being Jews has been counted to become the people of God through what Christ has done, because there's no difference. There is no respect of persons in God. We are part of the family of God's people. Verse 21 of Romans 3, on this note, we won't spend too much time on this particular grace that we're trying to focus on here, but verse 21 of Romans 3 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." And that is just one of the many graces that the Lord has given us. If we turn to Romans chapter 5, and I'm just trying to create an idea here of the mercies of God that Paul is talking about, that we should allow to motivate and enable us to complete those two petitions, those two commands in those chapters, to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and to give our bodies a living sacrifice. Those two commands are only possible when we realize what the mercies of God are, and we understand them, and we meditate on them, and we let them motivate us. Romans 5 says, we'll start from the chapter, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Just think about that. We, as rotten, sinful people with no hope in this world because of what we had done in rebellion against our Lord, Jesus Christ has, by what he has done, brought us to a place of justification before the Father. God looks down on us and he sees righteousness. How is that possible? And because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I have to repeat that because it's just so powerful. The fact that we are able to attain this grace that God has given to us through what his Son did for us. Verse 3 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." So we've also been given the ability to glory and to rejoice in tribulation, in hard times, because we know where we're going. We know the glories that are being worked through our situation in Christ. It's the Word of God says that all things work together for good to them that love God. Verse 4 says, "And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And of course, we see here the love of God has been manifested to us, and that is one of his greatest mercies that motivated his Son to go to the cross. And of course, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the comforter that the Lord has given to us. And we can go on and on and on and on. Romans 6 says, "But now being made free from," 6:22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." We've been given freedom from sin. Romans 7:24 says, "O wretched man that I am," talking about Paul in his sinful flesh, his inability to have victory over sin outside of the Holy Spirit. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So just as a brief recap of just those few points that we've just had a look at, he's given us the good news of the gospel. He's brought us into his holy family. He's counted us children and brethren in Christ because of what he's done to bring together the Jews and the Gentiles. He's given us the ability to glory in tribulation. He's given us his love. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's freed us from sin, and he's given us eternal life. Those are just a few of the things. You can go on and on through this list of the glories, of the mercies that Paul calls them, of God. So that's why Paul says, "therefore." That's why Paul says, "by the mercies of God." Because without a view of those things, without God having done those things to enable us to obey His word and to give our lives a living sacrifice, there would be no way we could do it. We could do it. It is simply what enables and motivates us to yield ourselves to God. So keep reading down with me that you present your bodies in chapter 12, verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So the word present there has the idea of when the priests went into the temple, they would present their offerings before the Lord. Now, what kind of offering would it be if they were to present it and then they would take some of it back? Or they would present a something that wasn't commanded of God, or rather wasn't... Their heart was wrong in that they were selfish in the way that they presented it. They kept part of it back, just like we see Ananias and Sapphira in Acts with the money that they gave to the church. What kind of sacrifice would it be if we were to continue to take it back and to serve ourselves over and over again? The word present here is yield. It's to give yourself completely. It's to offer your lives a living sacrifice. This is a continuous thing that we have to fight our whole life to continue to do. So our presentation of our body should be full and it should be permanent. We should never take it back up. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So God has called us to this life of glorifying Him, living in simple obedience to Him, yielding our lives to Him as a living sacrifice. And if we look back to the world and to the scum that we left behind, Jesus says that we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Just let that sink in. Just think about that for a moment. So our presentation of our bodies should be complete. It should be full. It should be permanent. Now, I wouldn't pretend for a second to be perfect at this. This is just, it's an absolutely unthinkable task. And that's why we have to rely on the mercies of God. That's why we have to take into our minds and meditate on these things and allow the Lord to work an understanding of Him and what He's done in us so that we can fulfill this command. It's only by God's grace, only by the mercies of God that we are able to complete this almost impossible task, completely impossible in the flesh, but with God all things are possible. The idea of presenting your body, Paul says here, bodies, he doesn't say present your bodies, minds, souls, and spirits, although that's implied. He says, present your bodies, again, nodding to a nod back to the way that the priests would present the bodies of dead animals. But instead of saying, present your bodies as a sacrifice in death, he's saying, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, we know that God the Father was satisfied fully with the death of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, that satisfied the Father completely. And so now, we're called to give our lives to God as a sacrifice, not to create atonement for ourselves, not to create salvation for ourselves, but to simply show the Lord our obedient character and to glorify Him in obedience to Him. So we're to be a living sacrifice, not in some sort of cultic way sacrificing our bodies and killing ourselves, but rather, because Jesus, there's no atonement that we can make for ourselves. Jesus has completed it all with the Father. All we need to do is believe and obey. Now, the next words here describe the sacrifice that we should be giving to God of our bodies. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reason of service, but holy and acceptable unto God. Now, nothing that is unholy is acceptable to God. And we know that from the law, the way that the priests had to bring a perfect lamb, an unspotted lamb, to put on the altar. Obviously, it was a representation of Christ being our perfect lamb. But God requires perfection. He requires moral righteousness that is not possible without Christ's work. So our sacrifice should be holy and it should be acceptable. Now, when I was studying for this, I probably spent the most time just on this, because why are we being commanded to give a holy sacrifice? I mean, I know myself, I'm not a holy person. I'm an absolute mess of sin, and the victory I have over sin is so little. But yet we're commanded to give our bodies a sacrifice that is holy and it's acceptable to God. Now, I take peace. I take a lot of encouragement in the fact that Jesus, because of what He did on the cross, I'm justified. And the Lord sees me with the holiness of Christ. And it's not because of anything I've done. It's not because of anything I could ever do in my own power. But it's because of what God did. And so when we sacrifice our lives to God as a living sacrifice, of course, our holiness will never be enough, again, to atone for our sins. What the holiness that is required here is everything we have, we give to God. And we see it in the word bodies here. It's like God's given us the gift of this body we live in on this earth. And so while we have these bodies that are keeping us here on this earth, of course, one day our soul and spirit will be in new bodies. I trust for most of you, in heaven, in new incorruptible bodies. But while we've been given these bodies, we present everything. When Paul is saying present your bodies, he's saying present you, present yourself, present everything that you have to give to God. Your body is your greatest treasure. And we give it a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And the only reason that we are seen as holy is through what Christ has done. And the idea here is to give ourselves in a way that is so if we have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, for example, or we're giving ourselves to God partially, that's not the way that we are commanded to give our bodies here. It's holy, complete, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Now, I didn't think at all that I did justice to that, so please read it and study it for yourself. But that is, we are called to give holy and acceptable sacrifices to God. And the next phrase says, it is our reasonable service. So the word reasonable there can also be translated as spiritual. It's the word in the Greek. I did write it down here, logikos or something like that. What is it, Clem? Logikos. Anyway, whatever. But it's where we get the word logic from. And this is what this is saying is, with all of these things in mind, with all of what we know about God and what He's done for us in the previous 11 chapters. We come to an understanding that what we're called to do is completely logical. It's completely reasonable. And that's hard to, when you read this command and you think, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to give every single part of myself to God? That is, what if He calls me to be a missionary? What if He calls me to go through hardship and pain? What if He calls me to get rid of my idols? But when you look at what He's done for you, when you look at who He is, and when you let these truths sink into your mind, and we've only just looked at a few of them, you will come to the point, if you belong to the Lord, that you will see it as a reasonable service. It is something that is completely logical. The word service there has the idea of the service that was done in worship in the temple. So it was like a service of worship. So this is a way that we worship God. So I want to move now on to the second petition here, verse 2, and we see the second command that has been given to us here, and that is that we should be transformed. We should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, the idea of being conformed to the world is made to look like the world, being in the image of the world, being clinging to the world, becoming like the world, becoming an image of the world, more or less. And that is the default state of humans. We are moved and we are influenced so easily by the world and by the flesh, and the only way that we can get past that, the only way that we can have victory over the effect that the world has on us, is through the transformation. It's some sort of transformation that changes us, and there's only one type that will work here, and this is the transformation that is created by the renewing of our mind. So we see the importance of the mind in our transformation, because the transformation is what empowers our non-conformity to the world. God miraculously takes us out of the world, and He puts us into gives us a new heart that desires and loves God miraculously. And it's unexplainable, but it happens by the renewing of our mind. And we have to think about our mind and take it seriously. The fact that Scripture talks over and over and over about the importance of purity of mind, what we think on, how we think. And the best thing we can do is to fill our mind with God's Word. You see, when you came to know the Lord, when you called on Him for salvation, your mind was renewed in that moment. But your mind has to continue to be renewed day by day in your life as a Christian. And that happens as the Holy Spirit shows you things from God's Word. As you're reading God's Word, as David said, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. God's Word is what the Holy Spirit uses to give us victory over sin and to empower us to not be conformed to the world that we live in that is so easy to influence us. So we should be transformed. There's a miraculous transformation that has to happen so that we move away from the world, so that we don't conform to the world, so that we're not made to look like the world, so that we're not made to live like the world. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We'll read this verse I did write down here. Romans 8 verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And as the Lord works in our lives and draws us closer to Him, as we, again, meditate on these beauties, these mercies of God, these things that just blow our minds about who God is and what He's done for us, that renews our mind every single day. That has an effect on us, prayer and getting to know God. And what's the result of that? When we're transformed miraculously, when we're taken away from our love for sin and for the world and for darkness, and we're brought into a place where we suddenly, somehow, love God, love His Word, we love everything about Him, we desire Him, it's miraculous. When that happens, we see that there's a fruit that is given to us here, and that is that we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word "that" there in the middle is the key. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God can only be achieved in our lives. You can only be in God's will for your life through a life of constant yielding of yourself to God, and through a transformation, a renewing of your mind that causes a transformation in your life. And that is the key to proving. The word "prove" there has the idea of living out, the idea of putting on display, verifying what is good and acceptable and perfect, being the will of God. So that is our reward for a life of sacrifice to God and a transformation. We get to live in His will. And to me, there's nothing more exciting than to be where God wants me right now. The Creator of the universe, He has a place exactly where He wants you right now, if you're walking in His will. And to be right where He wants you, where He's put you, in living in simple obedience to Him, completely sacrificed to Him, giving your body a living sacrifice, is one of the most exciting things that I can think of. And that is only possible by the renewing of our minds. And the words that describe here the will of God, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that says to me that's all we need. We seek, our whole lives we seek for what is good and what is right and what is perfect. And for so many of us, we seek it outside of Christ. We seek what we think is good and what we think is acceptable and what we think is perfect, what we desire to make us whole. But the Bible says that only the will of God is perfect for us. It's the only way to live in the will of God. And so God has given us these mercies that are described in the first 11 chapters of Romans. He's given them to us so generously through the death of His Son. We can take a hold of them. They can belong to us. We can meditate on them. We can be driven by them. And of course, we can only be enabled by them to give our bodies a living sacrifice. If you think about how difficult that is, how can I do that? In your mind, you may be thinking, there's this sin or that sin or this idol or this. I just want to hold on to it. I can't let it go. And that was me. Every time I read this passage, I struggled. It was painful for me to hear this passage, because this Paul is saying there's a way to be free from these idols, and there is a way to give your bodies a living sacrifice. And that way has been made, that has been given to us, has been made possible by the mercies of God. That is the key, and we have to think on that. So if you're thinking this tonight, that what do I do? How do I get to that place where I present my body a living sacrifice? It's just too hard. That's most of my life. I've just struggled with that thought. How can I possibly make that happen? How is that possible? Well, the fact is that you can't. Not on your own. You have to rely on the mercies of God, and you have to meditate on the things that God has done for you. You have to understand them. You have to let them change you. You have to ask the Lord to reveal them to you. And through Christ, all things are possible. He can empower you to give that living sacrifice, and you will understand day by day more and more that this is a reasonable service. This is a logical thing. This is something that we must do for God because of what He's done for us. And not to earn our salvation, not to earn any sort of righteousness that is going to add anything to what Christ has already done, but rather to simply obey and to respond correctly to the mercies of God and what he's done. So what do you do with the mercies of God? Well, you give your life a living sacrifice to God by his mercies, and enabled by his mercies and motivated by his mercies, and then watch your mind become transformed. Watch yourself be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you remember the things that God has done for you, as you dig into his word, as you allow him to change you, as you talk to him, killing the conformity to the world that is so tempting for us, that is so easy for us. And then the reward of that is that we get to be in the word, the will of God. That is the fruit of true sacrifice. That is the fruit of a renewal of mind and a transformation in the life of a Christian, is that we live out the will of God. We prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And before I close, I really just want you to think a little bit more on those three words: good and acceptable and perfect. What else could we want? The will of God is all that we need. The will of God is the only way we want to live. We need to align ourselves with what God wants for us and live in his will. And that only happens through complete, full, long-term sacrifice to God of our bodies. So Lord, I want to bring these thoughts across tonight in a way that reflects your word, Lord, and I just ask that you help us to think on these beautiful things that you've done for us, Lord. Briefly described in Romans, Lord, but also throughout the rest of Scripture, your plan of salvation, your grace towards us, our sinful state, Lord, our hopelessness without you, and then, Lord, your miraculous gift of salvation that you have given to us, Lord, and your grace through that. You've given us the Holy Spirit, you've given us your love, you've revealed yourself to us in so many ways, Lord, that change us. And when we take a hold of these mercies, Lord, when we understand them, when we let them move us, Lord, to give ourselves a living sacrifice, we realize that only through you this impossible feat is possible, Lord. So I thank you so much for enabling us today through your Spirit. I thank you for enabling us by your mercies to give our lives to you as complete living sacrifices, God. This is possible, and we're so thankful for that fact, and it's only through what you've done for us, Lord. So I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for the fact that you've transformed us, Lord, not only when we came to know you, not only when we called on you for salvation, but you've transformed us day by day as we've drawn closer to you, as you've shown us the glories and the mercies of displayed in your word, and you've revealed more and more of yourself to us, Lord, and we've seen that beautiful transformation and had a taste of the will of God in our lives, Lord. So I pray you continue that work in us, Lord, and that you strengthen us in all that we do this week, Lord, as we look to you, dear God, to look to be in your will. Give us the power that we need, Lord, to respond correctly to your mercies, Lord, by giving you our lives, our bodies, living sacrifices. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.